It being Thanksgiving weekend, I'm sure that there are a lot of people in Canada taking a moment today to pause and to think about the various things that they have to be thankful for. You know, I suspect that if all of us were to think of the things that we have to be thankful for and then baked a pie to represent each of those things and put them in this room, I bet we would fill this room with things that we have to be thankful for, right? And as Christians, on top of our pile, there are two other things that are really big. God's redeeming love for us when we were still sinners, and his constant faithful provision. God's good news and his good gifts. Those are tremendous things that we have to be thankful for. Now, I want to borrow something that I've seen at weddings in the last few years to say this. The best things in life are meant to be shared. The best things in life are meant to be shared. And that's true for us as well. The best things in our lives, God's good news, God's good gifts, are meant to be shared. God's good news is meant to be shared. God's good gifts are meant to be shared. And I want to look with you this morning to see that Jesus' self-giving sacrifice on the cross is our motivation to share both of those. I don't want to just say, share God's good news, share God's good gifts, because that's what a good moral person does. I want you to see that Jesus has given himself so that you would share good news with others and so that we would share God's good gifts with others. Let's look at the first one. Jesus gave himself so that we could share good news with others. To do that, I want to look at the passage that Shannon has read for us this morning, 2 Corinthians 5. Now, the neat thing about 2 Corinthians is that in the course of his letter, Paul says, church, share good news. He also says, church, share good gifts. But in both cases, he reminds them, the reason I'm calling you to do this is because Jesus has already given himself first. He never says, hey, buck up, guys, pull up your bootstraps, dig deep in yourself, find your strong and get out there and do these things because you are needing to do good things for the world. He says, look at what Jesus has already done for you. That's your motivation to do these things. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul calls us to share the good news, the gospel. Verse 21 is the motivation. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's good news. That's good news worth sharing. Why is that good news? Let's look at the context. Verse 17 says this, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Okay, Paul, what's the old? What are you talking about, Paul? Paul was talking about our old nature, our old state, before we knew Jesus, dead in sin, doing whatever it was that made us feel good. Adam and Eve refused to listen to God, and every one of us have followed in their footsteps since then. All of us turn away from God. All of us ignore God. That's sin that separates us from God. I know some people don't think that's a big deal. I know some people find ways to justify it and say, oh, that's not such an issue. I'm a good person. But God holds each of us accountable. Look at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. People are right when they say God is love. He is. Absolutely. He is perfect love. God is also, though, perfect justice. And if you rebel against the God who is perfect justice, justice must be done. Each of us are guilty of turning away from God. And so we face eternity separated from God. I mean, this shows us our eternal souls face judgment. But this is where the good news kicks in. The old has gone. The new has come. What exactly does that mean? Verse 18. All of this, the oldness gone, the newness come, the love of God in our lives, all of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That's good news. Even though we were dead in sin, separated from God, unwilling, unable to confess our need for God, God himself got to work. He reconciled the world to himself. How did he do that? He didn't count our sin against us. My decision to ignore the God that created me, he chose not to hold me accountable for that, but to instead hold himself accountable. How does that work? Verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the great exchange that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. God was perfect. Jesus was perfect, sinless, holy. And yet he gave that all up. God somehow made him to be sin. God put my sin, God put your sin on Jesus on the cross, and God held him accountable for what we had done. So that when we are in him, when we trust him, we could be forgiven and loved by God. That's good news. God bought us back to himself at his own cost. When we trust Jesus and we receive this blessing, we are renewed. That old is gone. The condemnation is gone. The new has come. We're forgiven and embraced by God, who promises us eternal life with him. That's good news. Jesus gave himself so that we would share that good news. Look at verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though it was God himself who were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You know, Paul's already said it in verses 18 and 19. God gave us this message of reconciliation. Now here he drives home the point. We are the ones sent to represent Jesus in the world. We are sent to speak as though God himself were speaking through us. We have good news to share with people. And Paul says to us here, we need to share it as if God himself were speaking through us at that very moment. And the message is simple, right? Be reconciled to God. It's not do these prayers and follow these 8 easy steps. Be reconciled to God. God's already done the hard work to redeem us, right? The sinless Son of God became sin. He died on the cross so that we could become his righteousness. But we have to respond. Jesus' death on the cross is of no benefit to you if you have not trusted God to make you right with him. Have you received that benefit? Have you made a personal commitment to know Jesus? If you haven't, as I say, there's not 800 prayers and 5 easy steps to follow. It's as simple as praying, God, thank you for counting my sin. Thank you for not counting my sin against me. Thank you for giving your son to take my place on the cross. I turn from my sin. Please forgive me. Lead me on. If you have prayed something like that in your life, the old is gone. The new has come. You are a new creation. Do you know that? You are a new creation. Your sins are forgiven. Eternal life is yours. And now you have the privilege of sharing that good news with others so that they can be reconciled too. Let's talk personally to you for a minute. I know that can be intimidating. Right? I find it intimidating to share my faith with people in my neighborhood. There's a question that has always challenged me, though, as I thought about that. You know, if I try a new restaurant and I find that it's delicious, clearly that happens, I don't hesitate to tell other people about it. Right? The service that we got from the people who brought the bouncy castle to the fun fair was excellent. I wouldn't hesitate to say, yeah, these bouncy castle people are awesome. Rent them for your next birthday party. Why is it then that I find it so hard to share this news that God took me, who was about to fall into eternal condemnation, and delivered me and made me his own child? At no cost to me. That's always challenged me. And there are two things that have been helpful for me. First, is the gospel really the best thing in my life? Is it the central point in my life? Because the closer I get to it, the easier it is to share and to say, look how good this is. The second thing is this, reflecting on what he has done. Jesus took my garbage. Jesus took my sin. He took my place, went to the cross willingly, and died so that I could be restored to a loving Father. He willingly went to the cross to die for your neighbor, your friend, your cousin. Let that knowledge of what he has done motivate you. And given that this is our final mission statement series, I do want to say this. We as individuals play a part in sharing the good news, but just as important, I think, is the fact that we as a church play a part in sharing the good news. You know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, did he say to one person, go into all the world and therefore make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them? Hey, Peter, go and do this thing. No, he said to the church. He said to a group. The you is plural. He says, you go. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey. And you know, when I think about it, there is no single person in my life who is responsible for bringing me to faith. Right? I can't say, oh, this one person shared the good news with me, and that's why I'm a follower of Jesus now. You know, as I think about it, I heard the good news. There were all these different people in church who were living out the gospel in a variety of different ways, in a variety of different circumstances, and it's that that made the difference in my life. The church brought me to faith. You know, even in the secular world, they say, for a person to get on board with your product, you need 7 to 13 interactions, and I believe it. I believe that. I can see that in my own circumstances, that it took 7 to 13 people sharing the gospel with me, showing me the gospel expressed in their lives, before it finally clicked and I realized this is good news. The church brought me to faith. That's why I encourage you to bring people to church. Bring people here to see the gospel at work. That's why I try to include with some frequency a gospel invitation like I did a minute ago, so that you will know that people will have an opportunity to hear and to respond. If there's some reason that you're not comfortable inviting people here, tell me so that we can get the obstacles out of the way so that people can hear good news and see it lived out in our lives, because I see it lived out in your lives. Sharing the good news is one of the reasons that we exist as a church. Jesus gave himself so that we could share good news with others. He also gave himself so that we could share his good gifts with others. Okay, we're going to change gears a little bit here and flip ahead to chapter 8 in 2 Corinthians. Here again, Paul, knowing that he is going to call us to something big, roots that call in what Jesus has already done. Verse 9. This is 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Just reflect on that for a moment. The son of a king has enormous wealth at his disposal, right? I did a little bit of poking around on the internet, and you know how reliable the internet is. So take these figures with a grain of salt, but I did find these numbers. Prince Charles is reportedly worth $210 million. Prince William is reportedly worth $40 million. And this isn't exactly the same, but I was interested to read in McLean's that when little Prince George, you know Prince George, eh? Cute little cheeks. Prince George, when he was born, he generated $470 million in sales for British retailers. Can you imagine? Souvenir plates, souvenir diapers, souvenir shakers, souvenir DVD programs. Riches and royalty go together, right? And if that's true for Charles and William and George, how much more is it true for the son of the king of the universe who owns everything? There's a slide here that really drives that home. Jesus was rich beyond measure, right? Jesus had everything. And yet he gave it all up. He left the splendor of heaven. He took on human flesh. He wandered around down here. He stubbed his toe. Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but he didn't have a place to lay his head. He died like a common criminal. All that to make us rich. Now, not like filthy rich, fill your pockets with cash, to make us sons and daughters of the king. That's a spiritual blessing, absolutely, but he does provide for us in the material realm. God faithfully provides good gifts for us, doesn't he? Now, just like the good news, God calls us to share good gifts. We see that in chapters 8 and 9. Really, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is a case study in sharing, and there's a lot there, so I don't want to take all of our time looking through it. But for simplicity's sake, I want to focus our attention in chapter 9, starting at verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Since Christ became poor to make us rich, we should share our wealth, Paul says. And then he says this, verse 7. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart, not... Why do I keep inserting nots into this reading? Sorry. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Now, did you notice? There's a lot of words there. But Paul has essentially said the same thing three times over. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. That's verse 11. Now look at verse 8. God will make sure that you have what you need so that you will abound in every good work. The good work of sharing. Verse 10. He will supply you and enlarge your harvest of righteousness. He will supply you and enlarge your harvest of righteousness. Three times now, God says, I will provide for you so that you can share. One commentator writes, when God gives us our resources, God gives us more than we need, not so we can have more, but so we can give more to others. God doesn't give us material blessings so that we can hoard them for ourselves or withdraw from others, but so that they can be shared. Because there's three things in those verses that happens when we share God's gifts. I'll show you from verse 11. Starting here, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That's the first thing that happens, thanksgiving. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people. That's the second thing. Provision happens. But it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. There's that thanksgiving piece again. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel. There's the third, authentication, we demonstrate that we truly do obey the gospel. We truly do think it's something good. Let me summarize those. When we share God's gift, thanksgiving happens. Right? By sharing what God has given us, we show that God is worthy of praise, and he receives thanks. You know, I'm always struck when we receive letters from our compassion child. We sponsor a child, and we get these letters every once in a while. And he so often starts by saying, I thank God for you and your gift to us. God gets the thanks. Second, provision. God works through us to provide for others. Right? When we pray, God, give us this day our daily bread, he often provides for many of us through a paycheck. Sometimes, though, that's not the way God provides our daily bread. Sometimes God provides that daily bread through Why Not, through Friendship House, through the food bank. God intends for us to share what we have through to those organizations so they can share and provide for others. And third, authentication. When we give away what we have the way that Christ did when he became poor to make us rich, we show that we really believe we can trust God. Right? This isn't just faith, oh yeah, whatever. It's on the back of my mind, in my head, and I think about it once in a while. It doesn't really change my life. This is, we believe that Christ was rich and became poor to make us children of God, and so we will act in a similar fashion. Not that we become poor ourselves, but that we share with others. We demonstrate that not only do we talk the talk, we walk the walk. We show that God is trustworthy and that God is good. I like how David Garland puts it to summarize. When we have been the beneficiaries of such undeserved grace, how can true Christians shut their hearts or purses to brothers and sisters in need and begrudge every penny they may share with others? God has given us as a church good gifts. And I'm very grateful to be a part of a congregation that is intentional about sharing those gifts with other people. So this is our final sermon in the mission statement sermon series. And I hope that it's been helpful to you to think about what we do here at Langford, why we exist. I hope it's helped you to refine your thinking. I want each of us to think about what we are doing here. And I'm going to ask at the team leaders meeting, all the team leaders to think about what do we do here as a church? What are we spending our energy on? And how can we use that energy and tweak things to make sure that we are helping people to know God, grow in him? How can we help people to see God's goodness in us? How can we help people to know the good news, to share in his good gifts? To conclude, I want to give you just a couple of ways to wrap up today's, a couple of ways to apply today's message. They have to do with these cans. So I admit that last week, it was kind of short notice. So I did ask if you had canned goods to bring with you today, that would be great, and we would share them. So if you have canned goods with you, it's time, we're going to use them. In our response song, if you weren't here last week or if you forgot, that's okay. These things happen. Here's what we're going to do. In the response song, I want to give you a chance to intentionally offer these things to God with thanksgiving. I've asked some of the youth to collect them. There's some bags there. I don't want you to just throw it in the food bank, but I want you to recognize that as you give this, God is providing for you. I want you to recognize that as you give this, God is providing for somebody else. I want you to recognize that there are thanks being given to him because of this effort. And I want you to recognize that as you share, you are showing that you trust that God will continue to provide for you. So that's the first one. Here's the second one. Do you remember when Coke had a marketing campaign that went kind of like this? Share a Coke. I don't know About you, I remember being in the grocery store at No Frills and going through the bin trying to find the one with my name on it. The people in my family, I couldn't find anybody in our family. Not that we have weird names or anything, really, but I think I found Dad. And we found Ben's dance teacher. Got it for her and was like, thanks. Share a Coke. I want to borrow from Coke to say this. Jesus died to reconcile your friends and family and your neighbors, you, to deliver their eternal souls from judgment. Share good news with them. Coke wanted you to personalize it. So I want to say the same thing. Who will you share good news with? Let's take some time and pray for them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all the blessings that you have poured out in our lives. God, thank you that when I had no interest in you, you were working to save me, to make me your child. There are so many people that we know and that we care for. And God, I want them to know the good news. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they will dwell eternally with you. God, as we think about those people in our lives, we lift them to you right now. Everybody, take a person, picture their face. Father, we lift these people up to you. Give us opportunity to share the good news with them. Help us to do it with your authority, as if you were speaking through us, to say, be reconciled to God. God, we also thank you for the material gifts that you give to us. We have places to live and food to eat, and we are grateful for all that you provide. As we give our gifts today, I pray that you would take these things. I pray that you would let them be a blessing to people who will come to Friendship House and take them to their house and eat them and make use of them. God, we want to show the world that our faith is not just a thing that we pull out and dress up in on Sunday mornings, but that it is a real, vital relationship with you, who is living and active in the world. And God, as we do this, we pray that you would be living and active, bringing hope and food to people in need. We pray for your help in living this out, and we thank you for Jesus' death that motivates us to act. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, and youth, as you can, let's collect these throughout. Offer these, knowing God's provision.